a few changes. This version of that improves it with a few changes in the minutes. You use that at all on the history. I would not recommend getting into the history.
Hello.
Mr. President.
Yes?
I have not told them it's a conference call. Do you want me to do so?
The what?
I have not told them that they're all going to be on with you.
I will.
You'll tell them.
Yes, I will.
I'll put them right on.
Hello.
Just a moment. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
This is the president. This is a conference call that I have set up. I asked the operator to get the three presidential candidates so that I might review for you a matter of the highest national importance and one which I know concerns you this morning. And I will make notes of this, a transcription of it, and you are at liberty to do likewise if you're prepared to do it. If not, you can take notes. If not, I will review it with you in more detail at a later date.
Sure.
Now, who is that speaking? Dick, is that you?
Yeah, I'm on.
Hubert, are you on?
Sure.
George, are you on? George? Hello, George. Hello, George. Tell the operator Wallace is not on. I think I will go on with you all. They told me they had all three connected. This is in absolute confidence because any statement or any speeches or any comments at this time referring to the substance of these matters will be injurious to your country. I don't think there's any question about that. First, I want to say this, that our position, the government position, today is exactly what it was the last time all three of you were briefed. That position, namely, is this. We are anxious to stop the bombing and would be willing to stop the bombing if they would sit down with us, with the government of Vietnam present, and have productive discussions. We have told them that we did not think we could have discussions if, while we were talking, they were shelling the cities or if they were abusing the DMZ. From time to time, beginning back late last spring, they have nibbled back and forth at these various items. Each time they do, there's a great flurry of excitement. We have been hopeful one day that they would understand this. We don't want to call it reciprocity. We don't want to call it conditions because they object to using those words, and that just knocks us out of an agreement. But we know that you join us in wanting peace the earliest day we can and to save lives as quickly as we can and as many as we can. So one day we're hopeful and the next day we're very disillusioned. Now, as of today, they have not signed on and agreed to the proposition which I have outlined to you, nor have they indicated that this would be a satisfactory situation to them in its entirety. Our negotiators are back and forth talking to them, and they have just finished their meeting in Paris this morning. But yesterday in Saigon, because there are exchanges constantly going on, they came out a report that there was agreement that would be announced at a specific hour. This morning in Paris, the same thing happened, and Harriman had to knock that down. We posted a notice here at the White House that said the same thing. Now, very frankly, we would hope that we could have a minimum of discussion in the newspapers about these conferences, because we're not going to get peace with public speeches. And we're not going to get peace through the newspapers. We can get it only when they understand that our position is a firm one and we're going to stay by it. And what y'all's position will be when you get to be president, I would hope you could announce then. But because we have really this kind of a situation. If I've got a house to sell and I put a rock bottom price of $40,000 on it, and the prospective purchaser says, well, that's a little high, but let me see. And he goes, starts to leave to talk to his wife about it. And Lady Bird whispers that I would let you have it for $35,000. And then he gets downstairs and Linda Bird says, we don't like the old house anyway. We'd get it $30,000. Well, he's not likely to sign up. The Bundy speech didn't do us any good, and there are other speeches that are not helping at all. Because these people, when they read one of these speeches and hear them, why, then they take off for Hanoi or they do something else. The government's position is going to be this. We are willing to stop the bombing when it will not cost us men's lives, when the government of South Vietnam can be a party to the negotiations, and when they will not abuse the DMZ and not shell the cities. Now, we do not have to get a firm contract on all of these three things, but I do have to have good reason to believe that it won't be on again, off again, plan again, that I won't have to stop the bombing one day and start it the next. Now, obviously, they can deceive me, and we know that in dealing with the communists, that they frequently do that. We have had a good many experiences at that right in these negotiations. But what I called you for was to say in substance this. Our position has not changed. I do not plan to see it change. I have not issued any such orders. I will talk to each of you before I do, and all of you on an equal basis. I know you don't want to play politics with your country. I'm trying to tell you what my judgment is about how not to play politics with it. And I know all of you want peace at the earliest possible moment, and I would just express the hope that you be awfully sure what you're talking about before you get into the intricacies of these negotiations. Over. Now, I'll be glad to have any comment any of you want to make or answer any question.
No comment, Mr. President. Thank you very much.
Yep. Well, as you know, this is consistent with what my position has been all along. I've made it very clear that I will make no statement that would undercut the negotiation. So we'll just stay right on there and hope that this thing works out.
George, are you on?
Yes, sir, Mr. President, and of course, that's my position all along, too, is the position you stated. Yes, sir. And I agree with you that we shouldn't play any politics today. This matter so that it might foul up the negotiations in any manner.
Thank you very much. Now, what our policy is going to be, I think all of you should know that it's not going to be an impetuous or hasty policy. I've outlined it to you. I do not want you to speak about it. I do not want you to lay down these points, because if you do, that causes them to say their conditions and its reciprocity. And they may be able to take them if they don't think they're going to get something better by just waiting a few weeks or a few days. Now, so I think it's very important this be confidential. Do you know whether you're talking to me as knowledge to any of your people?
Well, in my case, the phone was picked up by somebody here. I'm at the Union Station.
Yeah?
The phone was picked up by somebody else. It may be known, but I will seal them down. I'll just tell them we got a routine report.
Okay, if anybody asks, we will not mention it here. If they ask us, we'll say that we stated the facts as we see them, namely that there has been no agreement between us, that we will constantly negotiate, and when there is, why, the candidates will be among the first informed. Now, I'm not going to agree to anything unless my advisors, the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and all the Joint Chiefs themselves consider the matter and give me their best judgment. And I get that from time to time, and it is all of their best judgment now, at this moment, that the position I've stated to you is the soundest position for this country. Namely, the government of Vietnam must be included and we could not expect an American president to have good discussions very long if they were shelling the cities or if they were abusing the DMZ.
Mr. President?
Yes.
It's obvious that I'm here at a school and I'm all alone. There's nobody with me. They do not know that I've got a call from you, but I've been held up at a meeting, and that press is always very alert. I'm just simply, is it all right just simply to say that we've had our regular report?
That's good.
Well, I think what I'm very fearful of, I'm afraid if they think that we're doing this, that we'll put a seriousness on it.
What can we do?
That we've justified. I think if you want to, I will just say that I called and the three of you, and I read to you the notice that Christian has posted here this morning, which I will now read to you. It in effect says that these reports are premature, that there's been no agreement, and that we're not signed on with them at all. Let me read it to you. The position of the United States with respect to Vietnam remains as set forth by the President and the Secretary of State. The position, you can write this down, the position of the United States with respect to Vietnam remains as set forth by the President and the Secretary of State. There has been no basic change in the situation. There has been no basic change in the situation. Colon. No breakthrough.
All right.
As you have always been advised, when there is anything to report, you will, of course, be informed promptly.
Right.
Now, I want to make this point to all of you candidates. First, I think you want to know what the situation is so you won't jeopardize it. Second, I don't want any one of the three of you to think that I'm going to give a preference to any person when we know what is happening that is significant to you. I will call each one of you just as quickly as I can before I would issue any orders. I think I have that obligation to you for your responsibility. So don't think you're going to get tricked or deceived. Now, we will be negotiating. We might sign up in 5 minutes ago. My judgment is we won't. But this is our position. They have not accepted it. And I'm going on to January the 20th along this line. I don't say there won't be some modification or moderation. But in principle, this formula must be our government position as long as I'm here. Over.
We got it.
Is that clear to all of you?
We're maintaining your proposition. And Mr. Vice President, I'll see you tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
At Al Smith Center.
So what time are you coming?
I'll be there about, I'm flying in from Kansas City. I'll be there about 7:30.
Are you coming in at the beginning of the dinner?
Oh, yeah, I'll get there.
You won't make it that early. Are you wearing a white tie?
Oh, yeah.
I gather. Okay.
I got to go home and put the damn thing on.
Okay.
All right. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, George.
Bye.
Yes, George.
You asked anyone to know about this call. Now, the Secret Service didn't know about the call.
That's all right. We won't say anything about it unless they quiz you. If they quiz you, the reporters, you say the President read us a memorandum which stated that the government position would remain as set forth by him in his public speeches, and there had been no change, the rumors to contrary, there had been no breakthrough, and that he wanted to inform me that of this fact because of the gossip, so I wouldn't be up in the dark, and that he would keep me informed if there's any action taken.
Very good.
Well, Mr. President, do you think continuing to talk about the matter of Vietnam is endangering the peace talks in any manner?
Well, I think it's what you say, what people say that does. I think that if they think that either Wallace or Humphrey or Nixon, if they can hold out 3 more weeks and get a little better deal, buy the house a little cheaper from y'all than can from me, they're going to wait. You know that much.
Yes. But as long as we're strong, I've taken a strong position, and I don't want to do anything or say it.
Well, I know what I do. I just give my views on it, but I would bear in mind constantly that the enemy...